Zechariah Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud Aleph, completing this vision of Perek Dalet that we are talking about. Va'an va'omar a love, and so I raised my voice and I said to the Malach who's explaining things to me when he said, "Do you not know what's going on?" And I said, "No, I do not know what is going on." So I said to him, "Mashne hazeisim ho'ila al yimin hamenorva al smola. What are these two olive trees?" I mentioned them briefly last time. On either side of the menorah, on its right and on its left. Va'an sheinis. Pasuk Yud Beis. The Malach answered me a second time. Va'omar elav. I'm sorry. I spoke to the Malach a second time. I raised my voice a second time. I couldn't even wait for the answer to the first question. Right away, I have another question. Mashte shibale hazesim. What are the two olive branches, Asher biyad, shnei tzantaros hazahav? Beside the two golden vats, Hamarikim me'alehem hazahav, that empty out the golden oil from themselves. So, the oil is clear and good like gold. It's not cloudy. It's not hazy. It's clear. So Radak says that what's happening here in the vision, he says physically it means something. Two branches, two olive branches, fell into the vats, and they were pressed out by themselves. Then the oil flows through the tubes, from the tubes into the lamps. And the branches are compared, he says, to ears of grain. They're full of seeds of olives, as if the ear of grain was full with kernels of wheat. And the branches, the Ibn Ezra says, were cut off. They were in the vats. Everybody agrees with Rashi that the gold is the golden oil that is pouring, which is a pretty glorious image, an image of oil that glows with a golden sheen to it. That's really nice. So there are these, there's this golden bowl, which represents somehow HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing light and fuel to the world. There's two olive trees, two olive branches fell off the olive trees into two vats where the oil is being pressed. And Zerubbabel is the one chosen to carry everything out. Tremendous thing. So what's the meaning of all of this? And Shibalim, that's why Shibale Hazesim, that word for Shibalim, we call them olive branches, but they could just as easily mean olive sheaves. And we mentioned that's because of the seeds that are filling up all the olives that are being pressed out. And normally you've got a lot of extraneous matter that gets taken out and removed before you put it in the olive press. So Rav Mendel Hirsch says that actually his first question of the olive trees, he received no answer first. And then he repeats his question, and it turns out Rav Hirsch suggests that the olive trees are the olive branches. What he took for trees were actually branches, richly laden with fruit. And they weren't rooted in the ground. And they're held by two golden tubes which empty out the gold from among them. So a really interesting vision that is a little unclear, and his questions aren't being answered because he's asking the wrong questions because he's not 100% sure of what he sees. And how true is that of all of us? We saw it much, much earlier when we saw Shaul HaMelech in Sefer Shmuel not ask the right question. I shall go to war. He was supposed to ask, should I go out to war? And then he got defeated in the subsequent war because he didn't ask the Urim V'Tumim properly before he went out and had made his own decision in his head. Yud Gimel Vayomer Eli Lemor, and the Malach said to me, Halo Yodata Mo Eila. And here we go. Here we go again. Sarcastic angel. The Malach says to him, do you not know what these are? V'omar lo Adoni, and I answered, no, no, my master, I do not know. So Mitzudas says that the Malach is asking Zechariah to apply himself to interpret the vision, but he wasn't able to do so. He knew the olive trees represented people anointed with anointing oil, but he didn't understand why they were so close to the menorah, which we're going to see in a minute. These are the two great leaders of the Jewish people. But that's something too. On the one hand, maybe we don't challenge ourselves enough to be able to find the answers ourselves. We jump right to Google and wait for AI to hand it to us. AI summary. What more do you need? I've done it looking at Hechsherin. Is this a reliable Hechsher? I Googled. And the AI Google, Mr. Gemini, who presented black and Chinese Nazis in its original incarnation of illustrations, it told me, well, some of the rabbis say yes, some of the rabbis say no, but I went to the direct websites instead because I went to the websites of the other Hashgachos Because can you trust AI to pre-digest everything for you? Here, the Malach is the real source of interpretation, and Zachariah knows better, perhaps, than to start speculating on things the way so many pundits do. And that's very important, I believe. Va'omar lo Adoni might be the most deep and important three words that appear in this parak, because being able to admit that you do not know something is a very difficult thing. I can tell you, as somebody with somewhat of a teacher's authority standing in front of a classroom, that it can be very hard to admit that you don't know an answer to something. It's a very difficult thing. It's a very humble thing. It's tremendous humility in Anivos to be able to say, Lo Adoni, I don't know. And he's not saying it in any kind of way where he's accusing his accuser, why would you even ask me such a thing? He's not getting sensitive. He's not getting defensive. He's getting straightforward because he needs to know the answer. Yadalad, last pasuk, by Yomer, Eile Shenei Venei HaYitzhar. These are the two anointed ones, the two anointed men. The olive tree symbolizes the position of Kahuna, the anointed Kohen Gadol, and Malchus, the anointed king. Zerubbabel is the king of Yehuda. He's not the king, he's the governor, but he's the best we got after Malchus Beis David is eliminated as a political position. And Yoshua Kohen Gadol, now the anointing oil had been hidden back during the days of Yoshiyahu, but they're called Yitzhar, anointed, because they are the descendants of David HaMelech and Aaron HaKohen, who were anointed. Radak says they actually were anointed with anointing oil. So Radak actually suggests there was some kind of anointing ceremony that took place. But in any case, they're the anointed men, Ha'omdim al Adon Kol Ha'aretz, who stand before the Lord of the entire earth. They are the oil. They are also those who are pressing the oil. They are the ones rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash with their own hands. The two vats, according to some explanations, Radak in particular, represent Nehemiah and Ezra, who came after them to complete the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. So what a tremendous thing to be able to be praised as one who is the anointed one, as one who is doing the work of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you commit yourself to Eretz Yisrael, to Klal Yisrael. Tremendous thing what Zechariah is telling us. Even in our time, when we haven't got all of this in front of us and don't have Nevi'im to interpret everything for us, but a tremendous statement about how important this is. Yom HaAtzma'ut is coming. I saw a tremendously hilarious sketch on the internet by the J-Sketch people, where one is a Zionist rabbi in a modern Orthodox yeshiva, and the other one is Dovi Neuberger playing the guy, Yom HaAtzma'is, oi, gefährlich, there's no Nisim, it's terrible. Dov Ben-Gurion, Yemach Shemo, or Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It's hilarious. If you get to see it, I highly recommend it. But we live at a time where Achdus is a rare thing among Jews, and we need it more than ever. As we said before, it's not loy b'chayel v'loy b'choyach. Ki im baruchi, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah. Eretz Yisrael, the state of Israel, just the political state, has been around there now 78 years. In all of the long history of Klal Yisrael and Golos, who could have ever seen this coming? And for any of my Satmar friends who might be listening, who might say, yeah, but it's not truly what the Zman HaMashiach is going to be. It's a secular state. It's not being done with Torah, with Mashiach. Understood. But still, it's a nes nifla that we get to be here at this time to be able to even think about a Navi like Zechariah in present-day terms is an astonishing thing. Because Rashi, Radak, Ibn Ezra, none of them saw anything even close to what we're seeing in Eretz Yisrael now. We're privileged, and we should appreciate that, and we should continue to dedicate ourselves to what Zechariah is saying, which is push yourself to get the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt. Do the work necessary, and that work might be spiritual, and it might be learning, and it might be Avodas Hashem, and whatever it might be, we still have a part to play. Even thousands of years after Zechariah said these immortal words to us,